Usually when we look up at the night sky, we just kind of, project our everyday earthbound logic onto the cosmos.
Right, we see stars and planets, and we just imagine them occupying physical space.
Exactly. So naturally, when we try to visualize a black hole, our brains just default to geography. We picture this literal bottomless pit in space, like an infinitely deep hole that just devours anything that gets too close.
Yeah, the standard framework really conditions us to think of it as a spatial void. I mean, the assumption is always that gravity has somehow overwhelmed the structural integrity of matter, right? Creating this area where physical space itself is just endlessly crushing inward.
Right, but I want you listening right now to take that mental image, that bottomless spatial pit, and just throw it completely away. Throw away literally everything you've been taught to visualize about how a black hole operates.
Because today we're taking a pretty massive detour from conventional astrophysics.
We really are. What if a black hole isn't a sinkhole in space, but a sinkhole in time?
Rephrasing the structure as a temporal collapse, it fundamentally alters how we map the limits of the universe. It forces us to confront what happens when the literal flow of cause and effect reaches a mathematical dead end.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, our mission is to explore this fascinating stack of highly advanced theoretical physics notes. They detail something called the ODECCT framework.
Yeah, the CCT stands for conditional collapse theory.
Right, and we are going to use this to unpack the time hole hypothesis. Specifically, we need to understand how different degrees of a time hole define a singularity. We're going to look at the exact mechanism of, why time itself freezes at an event horizon.
I will describe the reality of how time dimensions completely collapse as you approach the absolute center, which is honestly mind-bending.
It really is. I mean, we're dealing with the absolute edge of theoretical physics here. The source material challenges foundational assumptions about relativity and quantum mechanics.
Definitely. It rethinks the whole board.
But don't worry, we're going to navigate this dense math without getting lost in the jargon. We'll keep our boots on the ground while our heads are in the temporal clouds. But before we can dive into the center of a black hole, we kind of have to redefine what the hole actually is.
Right, we need to shift our perspective from a spatial map to a temporal clock.
Okay, let's unpack this. What is the fundamental difference between the standard view of black holes and this new ODCCT view?
Well, it really centers on what is actually diverging in the math. So, in standard physics, a singularity is defined as a spatial collapse. The equation suggests that infinite density is crushing down into a single physical point.
Yeah.
Space basically runs out.
Position freezes. Let me try to visualize that standard model. So if you fall in, you are eventually compressed into a point with zero volume. It's like a dead end on a physical map.
Exactly. But the CCT view argues that the spatial collapse is actually a secondary illusion.
Wait, an illusion?
Yeah, well, a consequence rather than the cause. The primary mechanism is a temporal collapse. It's a region where the temporal derivative goes to zero. In this formulation, it's not the spatial variables that diverge to infinity. It is time that becomes the variable that diverges.
Okay, so if the old model is a car driving down a road that suddenly ends in a brick wall where you run out of space, this new CCT model is, it's like watching a video online and the connection drops. The video starts buffering, slowing down more and more.
That's a really good way to picture it.
But it's not just a temporary lag, right? The
Yeah.
math implies it slows down until the very concept of hitting play no longer exists, like time just runs out.
Right, but the buffering analogy works mostly for an outside observer watching someone fall in. CCT adds a much darker twist for the structure itself. It's not just that the video pauses, it's that the play button is permanently deleted from the universe's interface.
Oh, wow.
Under the ODECCT formulation, the singularity isn't a physical location you travel to. You don't arrive at a set of spatial coordinates. It is a moment you reach in time where time itself saturates. It is a temporal limit point.
A moment you reach in time, not a place. That is so wild to think about. To really grasp how we fall into this temporal sinkhole, we need a way to measure the descent. And the source material lays out this concept of the degrees of a time hole to track what happens to reality as we get closer.
Yeah, the framework formalizes this with a specific metric called the time hole degree function. Mathematically, it's denoted as d of r equals 1 minus the absolute value of dt over d tau.
Okay, let's break that equation down so we don't just gloss over the math. Because dt over d tau sounds intimidating, but it's essentially just comparing two different watches, isn't it?
Basically, yes. It's a ratio of two distinct experiences of time. Let's say you are an observer falling toward the black hole. The detail represents proper time, literally the watch strapped to your own wrist.
And to me, that watch always ticks normally, right?
Exactly. Proper time always feels normal to the person experiencing it. The DT represents coordinate time, the watch of an observer far away, completely safe from the gravitational pull.
Got it.
So the function D of R measures the widening gap between those two ticking clocks as gravity bends the environment.
So we can frame these degrees as kind of a narrative journey. Let's imagine you, the listener, are drifting through space. Right now, floating far away from any massive object, your watch and the safe observer's watch are ticking at the exact same rate.
Right, and the math calls that degree zero. This is normal space-time. Time flows freely forward, with one full temporal degree of freedom. Your clock and the coordinate clock are in perfect sync.
The flow of cause and effect is totally uninterrupted.
Exactly. But then you start drifting closer to a massive star or a black hole. You aren't in danger yet, but gravity is starting to make its presence known.
So you have entered degree one.
Yes, degree one. This represents gravitational time dilation. And you don't even have to be near a black hole for this. I mean, the GPS satellites orbiting Earth experience degree one time dilation right now.
Really? Just from Earth's gravity?
Yeah, exactly. Because gravity is warping the space-time around you. Your local watch, proper time, starts to drag relative to the safe observer. The gap between the two watches is growing.
Okay, but forward momentum is still entirely possible, right?
Right. The temporal degree is somewhere between 0 and 1. You can still ask the question, what happens next, and get a valid physical answer.
That makes perfect sense. The watch is sluggish, but the hands are definitely still moving forward. But eventually, as you drift closer and closer, you hit the point of no return. You hit the event horizon.
And here's where things get extreme. The event horizon is classified as a degree 2 time hole. At this boundary, the proper time derivative approaches zero relative to the outside world.
Meaning gravity has warped space-time so severely that coordinate time completely freezes.
Yes. If the safe observer is watching you, they see your watch slow down until the second hand stops entirely. The mathematical value of our degree function equals exactly 1 here. It becomes a temporal boundary that is entirely, quote, future locked.
Here's where it gets really interesting, and I want to push back on this a little. If coordinate time completely freezes at the boundary, does that mean the concept of choice literally ceases to exist? I mean, if time isn't moving forward, how can any physical process happen?
It's a great question. We have to introduce the CCT definition of entropy to understand what a frozen future actually means. In standard physics, we usually talk about entropy as thermodynamic disorder.
Like a shattered glass or a melting ice cube.
Right. But CCT defines entropy as collapsed future options. It represents the uncertainty of the future trajectory of a system.
Okay, think of it like walking up to a fork in the road. Before you choose, you have multiple future options. But the moment you take the left path, the option to take the right path collapses. You've reduced the uncertainty.
Precisely. And CCT calls these potential trajectories question paths. Every possible physical action is a question path. And at the degree 2 event horizon, entropy essentially maxes out in terms of directionality.
Because time has frozen relative to the outside universe.
Exactly. There are absolutely no outward question paths left. You cannot take an action or ask a physical question that results in a consequence outside the black hole. Every single valid route now points exclusively inward. Your future options are completely locked to one trajectory.
The existential dread of that is just so heavy. It's not just that gravity is pulling you so hard you can't escape. It's that the actual dimension of time has been bent so severely that every tomorrow you could possibly experience exists closer to the center.
Yeah, the physical mechanism behind this is the warping of the light cones. In relativity, a light cone represents all your possible futures. At degree 2, your entire future light cone tips inward. The spatial direction pointing toward the center of the black hole essentially swaps roles with the dimension of time.
Wait, space and time swap?
Functionally, yes. Moving toward the center is no longer a spatial journey. It is an inevitable temporal progression. You are moving toward the singularity exactly as inevitably as you are moving toward next Tuesday.
Wow. That perfectly sets up the next stage of the descent. We are past the horizon. We are in a space where moving inward is the equivalent of moving forward in time. But what happens when we reach the end of that progression? What happens when we fall all the way into the absolute center?
Well, the math at the absolute center goes from extreme to completely undefined as you move from the horizon toward the center where the radius approaches zero. The mathematical metric for time goes from negative infinity to nothing. it physically breaks down.
The source notes describe this as dimensional collapse. We aren't just stretching time anymore, we are literally breaking the dimension itself.
Look at the temporal degree. A normal point in space, or a safe degree zero, has one temporal degree. Time flows forward. But as you hit the singularity, that one degree collapses to exactly zero. Time itself becomes undefined. The framework labels this degree three, a true time hole.
Let me see if I can ground this for everyone listening. Imagine walking directly toward the North Pole. Every step you take is a step north. With the absolute second you stand directly on the geographic pole, the concept of north completely ceases to exist.
That's a perfect analogy.
Right, because you can't go north of the North Pole. Every direction you could possibly point is south. The actual dimension of north has collapsed. Except in this black hole scenario, the direction that vanishes isn't a point on a compass. The direction that vanishes is tomorrow.
Exactly. The framework explicitly refers to this state as the temporal equivalent of dividing by zero. The North Pole analogy perfectly captures the geometric reality of it. You reach a coordinate where the directional vector is entirely undefined. Inside a degree three time hole, you cannot progress to tomorrow because the infrastructure required to calculate a future state has been deleted.
So the timeline just ends. It just stops.
Yes. The notes frame this using the traveling salesperson problem.
Oh, the classic mathematical puzzle of finding the most efficient route between a set of cities.
Right.
Right. Life and the flow of physical reality is essentially a question TSP filled with choices and routes, a continuous chain of cause and effect. But at degree three, you reach the ultimate entropy sink,
where there are no paths left.
Zero remaining valid routes. The concept of what happens next simply doesn't exist because the temporal dimension required to host a next has collapsed to zero.
The temporal equivalent of dividing by zero. It's beautiful, but it's completely alien to how we experience reality. Which brings up a really crucial question. Why does this specific reframing matter? Beyond the mind-bending sci-fi nature of a degree three time hole, what problem does this actually solve for theoretical physics?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this time hole hypothesis offers a direct resolution to one of the most agonizing paradoxes in modern astrophysics, the black hole information paradox. This was Stephen Hawking's monumental challenge to physics.
Let's lay out the foundation of that paradox for a second. Quantum mechanics has this strict rule about information. It states that physical information can never be permanently lost. If I take an encyclopedia and throw it into a bonfire, the information in that book seems destroyed to my human eyes. But theoretically, if I possessed a perfect supercomputer that could track every single molecule of ash, every wisp of smoke, and every photon of heat emitted by that fire, I could run the physics in reverse and completely reconstruct the encyclopedia.
Yes, unitarity. The idea that the past determines the future, and the future can determine the past, it is perfectly preserved. That is the absolute bedrock of quantum mechanics.
But Hawking realized that black holes throw a massive wrench into this rule, didn't he?
He did. According to his calculations, black holes aren't completely black. They leak a tiny amount of energy over immense timescales, known as Hawking radiation. And eventually, the black hole evaporates entirely and just disappears.
And this is where the panic sets in for physicists, because if our encyclopedia falls into a black hole and the black hole eventually evaporates into random, featureless thermal radiation, the information about the encyclopedia hasn't just been scrambled like in the bonfire. It has been fundamentally deleted from the universe.
Exactly. Standard physics struggles with this because it relies on the spatial view of a black hole. If the encyclopedia is crushed into a physical singularity, and the singularity evaporates, the data goes with it. The laws of quantum mechanics break down.
But the CC2 framework reframes the paradox entirely. It doesn't view this as an information destruction problem. It views it as a path compression problem.
Yes. We have to look back at the event horizon, our degree two time hole. We establish that time is frozen there, and all paths point inward. The source material argues that because of this temporal freeze, the horizon acts as a path compression zone.
So the key to this compression lies in something called the Bekenstein bound, right?
Right. Jacob Bekenstein discovered that a black hole's entropy, its maximum capacity to store information, is proportional to the surface area of its event horizon, not its volume.
Which is wildly counterintuitive. I mean, if I want to store more boxes in a room, I care about the volume of the room, not the square footage of the wallpaper.
It really is counterintuitive. But it is the early seed of the holographic principle. The surface area of the event horizon dictates the absolute maximum capacity for encoded questions or quantum states.
So as matter falls in and the black hole eventually begins to evaporate and shrink, the raw amount of physical information inside threatens to exceed the storage capacity of that shrinking surface area.
And standard physics assumes the universe is simply deleting the excess data to make it fit.
But CCT introduces what they call a reversible compression algorithm. If time is frozen at the boundary, new information falling in can't proceed forward normally, it physically stacks up at the horizon.
When those raw question paths, the quantum states of the infalling matter, hit that frozen degree two boundary, they are forced to adapt. To fit within the constraints of the surface area, the quantum states have to overlap. They share energy levels and properties.
They basically undergo dimensional reduction.
Exactly. The physical paths the matter took are mathematically compressed into the smallest possible footprint on the surface of the event horizon.
So, what does this all mean for us? It's remarkably similar to how we interact with technology every day. When you need to email a massive video file, your computer doesn't just randomly delete scenes to make it fit, it zips the file.
Right.
It scans the data and finds redundant code, like replacing 1,000 identical blue pixels with a single line of code that just says generate 1,000 blue pixels.
The black hole is executing a physical version of that exact algorithm.
Yeah.
It finds redundant quantum states. The information is zipped up into entangled correlations between the particles on the horizon.
Wow.
And when the black hole emits Hawking radiation, it isn't emitting random thermal noise. It is radiating the highly compressed, entangled data of everything that ever fell inside.
So when you download the zipped video, you run decompression software and the file is perfectly intact. The universe is doing the exact same thing at the edge of a black hole. Unitarity is completely preserved. The information isn't destroyed. It's just phenomenally well packaged.
The paradox is resolved without breaking the laws of quantum mechanics. It simply requires recognizing that the horizon isn't a spatial membrane devouring matter. It's a temporal boundary that compresses the mathematical paths of reality into a smaller dimensional format.
We have covered a staggering amount of conceptual ground today. We threw out the spatial garbage disposal model and replaced it with a temporal zip file. We tracked the descent from degree zero, where time flows freely, into degree one, where gravity drags the clock.
We examined the degree two event horizon, where the extreme gravity forces coordinate time to freeze entirely, locking all future trajectories inward and forcing infalling matter into a path compression zone.
And finally, we pushed into degree three, the absolute center, where the dimension of time collapses to zero. The end of the question TSP, where the concept of next drops completely off the map. It is an incredibly cohesive way to view the extremes of the cosmos.
It really is. And before we conclude, the source notes hide a meta insight at the very end that forces us to look at the entire universe through the same lens of compression. It introduces the concept of a universal physics function dictionary.
Oh, I loved this part. The author proposes that if the universe is fundamentally mathematical, then all of physics, every force, every particle, every orbital motion can be expressed as a highly compressed text. They actually mapped it out.
Yeah, the claim is that the entirety of physical law can be compressed into a dictionary of exactly 68 custom elementary mathematical functions.
Gravity, quantum mechanics, thermodynamics, all of it reduced to 68 equations.
If the universe's operational rules can be written as a compressed text file of 68 functions, and if a black hole is, as we just established, the universe's ultimate perfectly efficient data compression algorithm, the implications are massive.
It makes you look at the stars differently. If a black hole is just zipping files and the foundational laws of physics are just a 68-function compression dictionary, are we just looking at the source code? Is reality itself just a holographic simulation running decompression software?
Physics acting as a decompression algorithm, conditional collapse theory acting as the system's reading strategy, and a black hole acting as the ultimate file archiver.
If a black hole is a sinkhole in time where reality gets zipped up into entangled radiation, who or what is meant to eventually download and unzip it?
That is a question path that challenges the very nature of existence.
Something to ponder the next time you look up at the night sky. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us. Keep questioning the paths, and we'll see you next time.